You know, one of the things that in the body of Christ that it always seems to come down to, we talk about these things a lot, but it's the giving. And what do we give to God? And there's a lot of teachings that we've all heard about giving. There's a lot of things that we've been taught about tithing, bringing the offerings, and those things are all very important. But the question that it kind of leaves us with sometime is, why does God need my money? What is it about my money? Why does God need my money? Why does he need my income? Why do I have to give? And that's a very good question, because what it comes down to is God doesn't need, it's not that he needs your money. And we'll see that in just a minute. I want to look at this verse. This is from Psalm 50, verse 12. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, you know, I give tithes, I give regularly, why does God need my money? Well, here's what God answers, at least part of the answer. In Psalm 50, verse number 12, it says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine in the fullness thereof. God is saying, I'm not taking from you. I'm not asking you to give. I'm not asking you to give of what you have. Really, what it comes down to, we learn this in the New Testament, it's stewardship. Everything that we have, God has given to us. It belongs to him anyway. We're merely stewards. So when God is asking us to give, he's asking us not to give something that's ours anyway. It's his. He's asking us because we've been entrusted with the money, just as we've been entrusted with everything, even our lives, we've been entrusted with this life, but it's supposed to be given to him. It belongs to him. And so as stewards, we do. The steward does what the owner, the manager, what the master asks. The steward does as the master lays out. The steward merely obeys. The steward doesn't own anything, including his own life. He just obeys and does with what he's been entrusted with. He does as the master has laid out, as the master has indicated, as the master instructs. So we understand that as New Testament believers. But when you read this here in Psalm 50, verse number 12, you can see that what God is saying is, look, I'm not asking you to give because I need your money. I'm not asking you to give because I need the cattle that you're going to bring for the for sacrifice or the animals for sacrifice. It's not like I need them. If I was hungry, it's not like you're feeding me. If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you because I own it all. It all belongs to me anyway. God's saying there's nothing that we can do to meet his needs. So when we give, it's not giving to meet God's needs. So if we're not giving to meet God's needs, then why is it that God's asking us to give? Why does God ask us to give our tithes? Why does God ask us to give other things, like he asks us to give him praise? Why does God ask us to give even our lives to him? Why is God asking you and I to give, whatever it is that we're asked to give? Why is God asking to give? He doesn't need it. Why is he asking? That's an important question for us to come to a realization on. That's an important question for us to have an answer or to understand. And again, Psalm 50, verse 12, God's saying, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you because there's nothing that you have. If I was hungry, you can't meet the need. I don't need what you have. So if God doesn't need it, why is he asking us for it? And I think that's where a lot of people struggle, because they feel like God's taking advantage of them. They feel like, God, you don't need it anyway, but you're taking from me. Why is it you want to take it from me? Well, remember, the motivation of everything that God does is love. Was everything that God does in our lives, he does it from the motivation of love. He doesn't do it for a selfish reason. He does it for our benefit, for our good. See, we think of things, if I was going to ask someone to give to me, the reason for my asking is because I feel like they owe it to me, or I feel I deserve it. It's thinking about what is mine, or what I deserve, or why it should come to me, why I should have it and you shouldn't. That's how, if I'm asking you for something, that's the reason I'm asking you. I'm not thinking, what's the benefit for you? I'm not thinking, it's going to benefit you if you give me $1,000. I'm thinking that because it's going to benefit me. And so this is the way that we think in our natural minds, and we kind of superimpose that natural mind thought, that man's thinking, onto God, and think, well, why is God asking us for something? Obviously, he doesn't need it. He says he doesn't need it. Why is he taking from me? Well, God doesn't ask for something because he needs something or because he wants it. God's different. God's ways are not our ways. Where we ask because we want, God's not asking because he wants something from us. He's asking because he loves us and he knows what's best for us. Now, we're going to look down at the bottom of this verse in a couple of minutes. But this is what I want you to see about that. The reason that God asks us to give, money's the most obvious. But he also, we'll see this in a few moments, he also asks us to give our praise, to give our thanks to him. He also asks us, from a larger extent, to even give our lives to him, to give all that we are to him. Now, if I was asking you that, it would be for selfish reasons. But God is not me. God's not a man. God's not you. He doesn't ask, so we can't superimpose our thoughts, our emotions, our ideas upon God. We have to understand who God is and that God is different. And so the reason, the motivation behind God asking you, and let's use finances, the reason that God asks you to give money, finances, is for your benefit. Because it's not his, it's not your money that he needs. Listen, whatever little bit of money that I have, I mean, you know, compared to, I could be the richest person in the world. Even as the richest person in the world, whatever I would give to God would still be a pittance. Because he has it all. He owns everything. The little bit that I have, even if it's more than anybody else has, it's still a pittance. So the reason that God asks me to give is because he knows it benefits me to give. When God's asking for our money, it's not our money that he really wants. What he really wants is our faith. What he wants is for us to trust him. When God asks us to give money, when he asks us to give praise, thanksgiving, when he asks us to give ourselves, what he's wanting us to do, what he's asking for, is not money. It's not the lifting up of adulation to him for his benefit. Let's focus on money, because this is the easiest way to understand it. When God asks you for money, he doesn't want your money. It's not what he's after. What he's after is your faith, because he knows that it benefits you and I if we can trust him, if we will learn to trust in and rely upon him totally and exclusively. And money is the first area of doing that. Money is the first place. Money is the most basic, elemental, foundational level of giving. If I can't give money, I'm not going to give anything else. If I can't trust God with money, I'm not going to trust him with anything else. This is the starting point. You know, if you look at the book of Luke, in chapter 16, it says this. I'm going to read verses 10. And verses 10 and 11. He that is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. Now, this is talking about the steward, and it's the unjust steward, and the lessons from the unjust steward. So if you take this all in context, what God is talking about, what Jesus is talking about right here in Luke chapter 16, you take it in context, he's talking about money. He's talking about finances. And in talking about finances, in context, he says, he who is faithful in very little thing. So money is a very little thing. It's the most basic. It's the most foundational. It's the smallest thing. This is the starting point. We have to be able to trust God with money. If I can't trust God with my finances, I'm not going to be able to trust him for my health, for my marriage, for my job, for my family. I'm not going to be able to trust him for the supernatural things. I've got to start with the small things. So he says, he who is faithful in very little, a very little thing, again, talking about money, is faithful also in much. If I can learn to be faithful in the small things, I can then learn to be faithful in the larger things. Again, when God asks us to give, he's not asking because he wants your money. He's asking because he wants your faith. He wants you to place faith, trust, reliance, hope, everything in him, not in yourself, not in your money, not in anything that is of this world. He that is faithful in this little thing, money, finances, is faithful also in much. And he who is dishonest and unjust in the very little thing is dishonest and unjust also in much. So what he's saying is, and again, in context, this is all talking about money and being a steward. So if the little thing is money, if I am faithful in the little thing, if I'm faithful in money, then I'll be faithful. I can be faithful in the greater things. But if I'm not faithful, if I'm unjust in money, in other words, if I'm not going to trust God with the area of finances, I'm not going to trust him with anything. I'm not going to trust him for those greater things. So why does God want us to give? Again, it's not that he needs what I have. Go back to Psalm 50, verse 12. God said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. I own everything. He's not asking us to give because he needs our money. He's asking us to give because he knows it's imperative for us to learn to operate in faith. He's asking us to give because he doesn't want our money. He wants our faith. And money is that starting point. Now, we can still take that same concept, and we can see that that same concept is true in all areas of our life. Let's go back to Psalm 50. So we saw in verse number 12, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. He goes on to verse 13 to say, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? He's saying, I'm not asking you for the sacrifices because I'm going to eat the meat of the sacrifices and drink the blood. I'm not going to do that. Understand why I'm asking you to do these things. I want you to put your trust in me. I want you to learn to give. I want your faith. I want your obedience, and I want your faith. And ultimately, he knows if he has our faith, if we have faith in him, then all of the good things that he's entrusted to us, all of the good things he's prepared for you, you can receive it. It's released, and you can receive it, but you have to operate in faith. God doesn't ask you to tithe. He doesn't ask you to give gifts and offerings. He doesn't ask you to do that because he needs your money. He asks you to do that because he wants your faith. He wants you to trust and rely upon him, not upon the world and the things of the world. Now, I said that finances were the most basic. That's the starting point. Next time you're in church, next Sunday when you're in church, you know, it's time for the offering. Don't hesitate. This is the smallest. This is the beginning. This is the smallest level. He that is faithful in the very little things, and money is the very little things, will be faithful in the greater things. And if I'm faithful in the greater things, I can walk in the things that Jesus has for me. Let me see him go on before I go back to Psalm 50. Staying in Luke chapter 16, verse number 10, and I'll go to verse number 11. Because verse number 10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust in much. Verse number 11 says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the case of unrighteous mammon, deceitful riches, money, possessions, who will entrust you to true riches? See, God is explaining why he wants us to give. Not because he needs your money, but because he wants you to be able to trust him. He wants your faith so that he can operate through that faith to entrust you with more. That's what this says. Let me read it to you again. I'm going to read verse number 10 from the King James, then verse number 11 from the Amplified. Verse number 10 says, he that is faithful in that which is the least, which again is money, is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in that which is the least, money, is unjust also in much. If you're unfaithful and unjust concerning money, you're going to be unfaithful and unjust in everything. In other words, you can't be trusted. He doesn't want your money. He wants your trust. He wants your faith. He wants you to trust and rely upon him. Verse number 11. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the case of unrighteous mammon. So in other words, if you've not been faithful in the case of money, riches, possessions. See, this is all encompassing. If you've not been faithful in those things, in other words, if in that least area you've not been able to trust in and rely upon God, but you've hoarded and kept it for yourself because you said, I can't give this money because I can't afford to give it, even though God is saying, I need you. This is what I'm commanding you to do. If you're going to obey me, give. This is what I've set forth for you to do. If you say, no, I can't do that, I can't trust God, then the end of this is true. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the case of unrighteous mammon, riches, money, possessions, who will entrust to you true riches? If you can't trust God for the small things of money, you will not be able to trust him to receive and to walk in the greater things, all the even greater things. Again, the supernatural things that you're looking for. God's not asking you to give because he needs your money. He's asking you to give because he needs you. He needs your faith. He needs your trust. He needs you to rely upon him so that you can then be positioned to trust him for the greater things, the supernatural things. Now, we can also see this is true in other areas. You know, I'm talking about finances because that's the least area. That's what Jesus says. That's the least area. But if we go back to Psalm 50, go down to the very final verse, it says, he who brings me, well, let me go back up. So we read verse 12, we read verse 13. Verse 14 says, offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. So God is saying not only money is the least area, but I also want you to give. I want you to give in the area of thanksgiving, of praise. This is another area that God asks us to give of himself. So we have to start with that basic level of money, but then we build. And God wants us to give. We are stewards, even of the words that come out of our mouth. We're stewards. These bodies, these lives belong to him. This body here, this voice that you hear through the microphone, it belongs to him. I'm just a steward of it. And as a steward, I need to give to him. And so he asks us, he tells us to give thanksgiving and praise. Now go down to verse number 23, the last verse in Psalm 50. He who brings an offering of praise and thanksgiving honors and glorifies me, and he who orders his way aright, who prepares the way that I may show him, to him I will demonstrate the salvation of God. Salvation means, you look at the word salvation, sozo, in the Greek, and it means fullness of it. It's more than just eternal life. It's all the things that come with eternal life, including healing, including the supernatural promises. Again, this is what God is teaching us. This is what God wants. We struggle in giving to God. You know, commendable to those of you who listen to SFM, because we just got through a share-a-thon. And you obviously have hearts of givers, as you helped us meet the need that we have. You have that heart of a giver. And God can work through that. See, again, this is the first level. What God is saying to us when he asks us to give, whether it's giving our money, giving our praise, our thanksgiving, giving our words, giving our time, giving ourselves, giving our very lives to him. When he asks us to give, it's not because he needs or wants what we have. It's his anyway. He's asking us to give because he knows that as we are obedient, as we will have that heart to give to him, if we will trust and rely on him and not in those meager little things that we hold on to in this natural world, if I will give it to him instead of hoarding it to myself, I then position myself to receive the greater things that he has for me. Where do you want to be positioned? You want to be positioned struggling just with the things that you have in this natural world? Or would you rather be positioned to receive the greater things that he can entrust to you? But you have to show that you are trustworthy, that you trust in him. Where would you rather be positioned? It all comes down to the area of giving. Are you willing to give? Give of yourself in all the ways that he's asked.